All right, everyone, it's the Grimlord here, and are you ready for some degeneracy? Because it's Grim's Hentai Corner, and we are back with Dead and Aegis again, because you guys love it so much on MGTOW.TV and BitChute, so here we go. February 17th. Minori Izuka, may I call you Minori? Go ahead. Minori is nervous. Today is the day of her monthly interview. Sitting opposite of her is Cersei Bernhard. As a former special warfare trooper and a fellow woman, she has been assigned to them as a counselor of sorts. It was her voice that Minori heard in her head when she first deployed to her special warfare gear. Apparently that is Cersei's special power, similar to how Minori and the others converse with each other while in their special warfare gear. With Purgatorio's powerful flames jamming typical communication equipment, Cersei's ability is the sole method by which special warfare troopers on sortie can communicate with the Cathedral. Minori's glossy colleagues always whisper catty remarks about how Cersei uses her body to curry favor with the men so she can stay on the base. However, Minori realizes that this ability of Cersei's is the true reason she's needed here. I see you were born on Mars. That's unusual. I believe that so long as the army requires me, my background is irrelevant. Despite herself, Minori answers with stiff formality. She has heard comments like this plenty of times already. But this time, she immediately regrets her words the moment they leave her mouth. After all, the woman in front of her is one of the others who were with Lisette when she saved her life on Mars so many years ago. That's why she's nervous. She thought she might be able to ask a little about Lisette, but she had to go and say that. Yeah, you're certainly right. Cersei smiles softly. It's been a month since you've been assigned here. Have you had any kind of trouble? No. Cersei examines the documents in her hands again. Well, not quite on the same level as your team member, Ayusha Petrovna. Your achievements have been remarkable for an inexperienced rookie. I'm sure you'll exceed my achievements before long. I think comparing me to veterans such as yourself is meaningless. You were thrown out in the battle without established tactics or training. Cersei continues to gently smile at her. You're very earnest. Is this criticism? Just a general observation? Or is this Cersei's way of testing Minori for being overly enthusiastic? Minori can't tell. Have you experienced any discomfort or physical abnormalities during battle? No. She has, actually. But she can't bring herself to talk about it, even to another woman. This question isn't aimed particularly at you, but do you feel uncomfortable about the way the male officers look at you? I'm not very attractive, so I... So I feel as if I'm being stared at. I think it's probably just me being self-conscious. Even if they are staring at me, I'm an afterthought compared to my friends. As she says this, Minori muses that she probably does come across as excessively self-conscious. Cersei gives her an appraising look. The other woman's gaze makes Minori feel even more awkward, causing her voice to waver. But... While I know I'm not someone who'd be looked at that way, the way the men look at my friends is, frankly, very unpleasant. That happened during my own tour of duty. And I don't think you feeling like they're staring at you as being self-conscious either. That's not true. You see, in places like this, you don't have to be incredibly attractive to be sexually desirable. Oh, I knew it, Minori thinks to herself. She knows she isn't attractive, but hearing it said to her face still stings. Yet at the same time, she's relieved she decided not to tell Claire about the odd feeling she's been experiencing during battle and after returning from patrols. You don't have to pay them any mind, though. Men are just like that. That's how they handle their jealousy over not being able to fight. They can say or think whatever they want, but we women are the main stars here. When you think of it that way, they just feel pathetic and powerless, don't they? They're the stars of this war. That thought gives the rookies a sense of pride, especially the ones who graduated from the Officers' Academy. Even so, Minori is too conscientious to stay silent. Their jobs are important too. You really are earnest. But the reality of it is that you could fight without them around. However, if you were gone, they wouldn't be able to fight. That's fact. Cersei then cracks a self-deprecating smile. Though I'm much the same, in the sense that I can't fight. That's not true. If it weren't for your special communications, I wouldn't be sitting here right now. Thank you. Just hearing that much means a lot. Cersei gives Minori a grin. February 26th. Flying through space feels lukewarm today. The flare waves don't hit as hard as in this area. A warm, slightly sticky sensation reminiscent of water slowly creeps along Minori's skin. Despite wearing a special warfare trooper uniform, it feels like she's flying naked. She thought she'd get used to this by now, but now it feels even more vivid. The sensation makes her anxious. The tips of her breasts and her crotch feel especially sensitive. It makes her check again and again that her special warfare gear is actually still deployed. Do Nana and Yusha feel this too? It's just a sensory illusion, so maybe each individual feels it differently. Because of that, maybe the other two girls don't feel like they're naked and being caressed. What if she told them about it, but she's the only one who feels this way? What would they think of her? Say, Minori, do you ever wonder why the aliens gave us this kind of gift? Gift? That made no sense to Minori. Since when had the CC given humanity anything? I'm surprised you can call this a gift. Ayusha seems to understand what Nana meant. But it is a gift. I mean, if we didn't have this, who knows what would happen to us? We'd be helpless and they'd just kill us, right? Trying to figure out what those things are is... Our thinking is a waste of time. If I had to guess, they get a kick out of seeing us struggle. Their tastes are probably as nasty as the way they look. But still, if we didn't have this, we'd all get eaten, right? It's such a waste of time for them. Minori finally connects the dots. They're talking about the alien tissue the CC forced into their wombs. This isn't a gift at all! Sorry, you're right. Soldiers that call the things they get from the enemy gifts get shouted at, right? Minori realizes she shouted without meaning to. She finally realizes how she feels. She's scared of this thing. It feels like whatever was planted in her womb is changing her from the inside out, little by little. She wants to think that she's just imagining it. She'd like to think that's the case. But each time she returns from a mission, she... Here they come, straight ahead. MBAC, this is G-14, CC detected. One unidentified unit and four FBs. The unidentified unit resembles part of the FB's bodies. Engaging the enemy to collect further data, requesting reinforcements. Ayusha's probably tired of calling those flying phallic creatures by the name Flying Boner, so she's using a shortened version of it. It's a giant dick and it's still in its foreskin! Minori sees it too, a large flying object that leads to CC's force. It has a thick cylindrical tip covered by what looks like baggy skin. But it is somehow different than the other FBs. Unlike the others that have a main body and protruding organ, this one's entire body is shaped like a phallus. The back of its tip is covered in spiral creases. Its form is eerily disgusting. Minori has to shake off her distracting thoughts about it. I'll charge in! She's to charge, but Minori has no intention of challenging an unknown enemy head-on. She accelerates, preparing to go around the enemy and attack from the flank. The sensation of something lukewarm and moist crawling all over her skin, crotch, and breast grows stronger. As strange and borderline unbearable, but she can't hesitate. I'll cover for you. Ayusha retreats and fires the bits from her arms. They spread in both directions and close in on the enemy, unleashing rays of light. The sound of flapping wings fill Minori's ears. A wave of nasty stench hits her, filling her nostrils. It's almost suffocating. It's a mushroom, not a dick, a mushroom! It's like looking down at a massive parasol. Its round form is white, circular, moist-looking, and it aims its form fixedly toward them. At the parasol's center is a red spear, like a bloodshot eyeball, rather. Its full size is likely on the same scale as a 50-story building. It unfurls its large umbrella-like body as if to shield the formation behind it from the bit's rays. When the laser beams hit its white, moist surface, the impact sites puff up like keloids for a moment, only to peel away, revealing smooth, unblemished skin underneath. Even after a second and then a third volley, the umbrella blocks each and every shot without taking any obvious lasting damage. It seems to be utilizing a form of ablative armor. By shedding its epidermis, it completely halts the damage that the laser beams might otherwise deal. No way! Ayusha's attacks can't harm it? But maybe her Gungnir would do the trick. Just then, Minori sees that the mushroom umbrella is slowly beginning to rotate. How do you like this? Ayusha lets out a moan that comes off as seductive into Minori's ears. A moment later, a thick funnel of light shoots past Minori, scoring a direct hit on the giant mushroom umbrella. The mushroom spins even more rapidly, its surface undulating and spasming as if it is in pain. By using the same principle as before and by dispersing the ray of light across its body due to its rotation, the only visible damage on the umbrella's semicircular arc of inflammation as if a giant compass is drawn on it. There are a few holes in the inflamed area, allowing Minori to glimpse into the deeper, inner layers of its skin. What she sees confirms her suspicions. Blue mist billows and sprays out of the holes, but the damage doesn't seem fatal. Its rotations gradually slow down. Amoeba-like tendrils extend out of the holes, covering them up as if they've never been there to begin with. Thus, the umbrella continues its advance. Minori feels the alien organ in her abdomen pulsate, causing her to let out a scream. Warmth spreads through her body in waves, filling her with so much heat that beads of sweat break out across her skin. The flames she produced coalesce into spiral, coiling around her arm to form a giant sword. As the mushroom's massive white form closes in on her, she can see that its surface is dotted with countless ivory-colored warts. The moment she slashes, the sensation of the blade's impact travels up her arm. It feels like the blade is sinking into a bog with how the mushroom's soft flesh slows its momentum. It doesn't seem like she's doing any real damage. She swings the blade again and again, but each time she gouges into its body, the mushroom regenerates. Any section of the skin she cuts produces more of that amoeba-like tissue that repairs any wound she inflicts. At this rate, she'll end up being swallowed by the mushroom's body. And if that happened, those tendrils will... The despicable memory of how her virginity was stolen from her flashes in her mind. When are the reinforcements coming? Concluding that she won't be able to destroy it like this, Minori changes course and disengages, retreating away from the clinging sensation. Not yet. I can keep shooting at it from a safe distance, so let's attack it and gather more data. Ayusha produces her bits from her arms again, this time launching them in wide arcs to either side before they aim at the FB behind the umbrella. As soon as the bits flash, the mushroom canopy convulses like it's cramping up, shielding the FBs behind its body. The rays of light get blocked just like before. Keloids form and then peel off, revealing undamaged skin. The FBs behind it are left unharmed. Is this thing some kind of giant shield? Let's run! Only veterans can handle fighting unknown alien types. Minori swoops around in a large arc, finally preparing to retake the front lines. But the way things are going, they'll close in on the cathedral. The FBs can do a lot of damage to the base, but if they figure out they can make it just once, then the next time, one of these mushroom umbrellas will escort a much more dangerous type of alien. Now stop it from moving. You have to think of something while I do. I can do this too. I'll show you. It's not a dick. It doesn't scare me. Stop it. How are you going to... A prismatic shield deploys around Nana, but rather than staying in place, it moves ahead and away from her. It advances, albeit much slower than Nana or Yusha. On... What? On in except... course with the canopy. Oh, on an intercept course with the canopy. My friends are both really strong. That's right. Minori can't defeat this thing on her own, but maybe Yusha's Gugnir can tear a hole into it that will allow her to defeat the FBs. Stop it, Nana. You're not suited for this. Leave this to me. Ayusha, shoot Gugnir, but do it right before I go in. Minori charges forward. Don't tell me you're... If this thing had any offensive capabilities, it would have already attacked us by now. This is a gamble. She has to assume that it's entirely specialized for defense. She focuses her consciousness on the mushroom and accelerates. The parasol's white, pallid surface grows closer. As she picks up speed, the warm, slimy sensation of the space around her thickens. It feels like it's groping her body. The feeling of it coiling and flowing around her is disgusting, but right now she needs more speed and power. Ah, no! Stay away! I'm sorry! Ah, leave me alone! The mushroom's tip collides with Nana's shield. The space around their point of contact undulates as the spear in the mushroom's center expands. Nana's shield flickers but hangs on. Nana, you're doing great. Could you stop it from rotating, please? Do something about it while I do. She has the power to answer Nana's... whatever that is. Like I said, Nana's trust. The alien organ in Minori's body, or belly, writhes, pulsating so violently she can hear it in her ears. Heat surges inside her body as her skin becomes sensitive and moist. The space caresses her skin. It feels like it's groping her most sensitive parts. Moans escape Minori's parted lips. Thick flames emanate from her body, coiling around her arm to form a great sword that dwarfs everything she's ever produced before. Yeah, fine, let's do it. Like hell I'm carrying your bodies back to base, so if it doesn't work, bail out. Yeah, got it? Wah, don't spin! I'll stop you in your tracks! In the blink of an eye, the white, pasty surface of the canopy fills Minori's vision. Nana's barrier stops it from rotating. The fruitless efforts of trying to spin nonetheless makes odd creases bulge out from around its core. Minori gives the Yusha a signal. Ayusha lets out an arousing scream. A moment later, with perfect timing, a blindingly white flash bursts forth in front of Minori's eyes, and without even confirming the results. Minori plunges into the explosion with her entire body enveloped by the flaming greatsword. She twirls in circles. She can sense that she's cutting into the CC hidden behind the umbrella. Multiple howls fill her ears as she extinguishes the lives of her enemies. Taking those souls is an indicator of her success. She plunges further in. The vast expanse of space, like the scenery of the underworld, spreads before her. To think that she had gotten used to seeing it in just a month. As she directs her consciousness behind her, she can sense that all the FBs that had hidden behind the gigantic mushroom were cut to pieces. Minori! Ayusha, we did it! It's moving away! The gigantic mushroom drifts away, flapping its canopy like a fish's gills. With the FBs it was guarding now dead, it probably has decided to retreat. The canopy of its umbrella is still there, but there's a large gaping hole across it now. It seems that the damage is too extensive to properly repair on the spot. Perhaps they could destroy it completely right now if they press the attack, but Minori has depleted too much of her power to give pursuit. On top of that, her mental strength is flagging too. The CC tissue in her belly is pulsing wildly, emanating waves of heat that completely sap away her will to continue. Even so, Minori tries her hardest to steady her breath before calling out to Ayusha as if nothing's wrong. Ayusha, can you fire one more shot? I think we might be able to finish it now. No response comes. Minori is so delirious right now that she doesn't immediately notice that Ayusha didn't answer her. Ayusha's response finally comes. Maybe firing that powerful attack disrupted their communications? Sorry, no can do. Firing that one really hit me hard. I felt like I was this close to dying. That's not funny, Yusha. That's terrible. Like you were gonna die? What happened? Nothing. I'll be fine. All CC eliminated. 14 will resume patrol duties. The cancellation buzzer rings out, causing Minori's special warfare gear to fade away. Once the gear's deactivation is confirmed, the airlock opens to allow Minori into the deployment port. As soon as the special warfare gear disappears, the disgusting sensation of her combat suit overwhelms her. Despite clinging to the skin, it doesn't absorb any sweat, causing it to simply build up into a layer between her skin and the fabric. The slightest movement causes her to hear the moist sound of the suit rubbing against her body. She wants nothing more than get out of this thing, take a cold shower, and put on something clean. That should be a simple enough request, but... I see you had the rotten luck of coming back alive today, Minori Azuka. But now, on top of her physical discomfort, she has to deal with this unpleasant man approaching her. Anthony Callahan, he is one of the Cathedral's senior officers. Back then, he shamed Minori in front of everyone. She tries to ignore him and walk away, but suddenly he closes in on her and whispers into her ear. For how ugly you are, you're one indecent yellow slut, you know that? You're probably fantasizing about getting fucked silly by those aliens because your crotch is sopping wet. Minori glares angrily at Callahan. Your words are in violation of military regulations. Your comments are both racist and sexist. Just stating the facts is all. Your nipples are always shriveled up, but they're hard now, and the gauge next to your crotch is glowing red. Minori reflexively covers her crotch and chest. The feverish sensation she felt throughout the battle suit. The battle isn't dying down, causing her body to remain visibly stimulated. Her nipples stand erect. their shape clearly visible through the fabric clinging to her skin. This is a side effect of using the special warfare powers, and the gauge simply displays the CC tissue's activity levels. She shouts the words at Callahan's turn back, but it's clear that he's not listening to a word she says. The whole exchange was utterly degrading. Minori takes deep breaths to calm herself down, but it does little to curb the fire burning in her. Why is this happening to her? The sexual arousal seems to fill her every time she returns from battle. She's been looking for some way to effectively suppress it. As usual, she throws her clothes into her designated cleaning box before taking a shower with the water set to the lowest possible temperature. The chill usually causes her body to shrivel up, simultaneously refreshing her while effectively putting an end to that terrible sense of arousal. Not this time, though. Ever since about 10 days ago, the intense arousal has been lingering even after the shower. Minori quickly changes into her regular uniform. She now stands with her attire in impeccable order, looking every bit the well-kept soldier, but inside her that feeling continues to seethe and bubble. It leaves her feeling dejected. The cathedral is a massive base. The residential block and the headquarters block aren't so different in terms of structure, but after 8 years of constant construction and renovation, there are some variations between them. In addition, some of the blocks from when the base was smaller still remain. As a result, the cathedral structure is labyrinthine. Here and there, one can find hatches and corridors that lead to unfamiliar corners of the base. Minori looks left and right, making sure no one is around before she sneaks into one of the corridors. Normally, a conscientious soldier like Minori wouldn't show any interest in a place like this, but now circumstances have driven her to deviate from her usual behavior. Passing through multiple corridors that have their lights turned off, she crosses a clearly deserted block and descends down a flight of stairs before reaching her destination. Slipping into the bathroom stall, Minori presses her back against the door and heaves a relieved sigh. Although this block is still functional and connected to the central systems, it has been left mostly abandoned by the rest of the staff. Minori can hear the cleaning robots sliding across the floor. Thanks to that, the floor and the toilets are spotless. Of course, such facts are a small comfort for Minori. Why? She bitterly gazes down at her lower body. Underneath her short skin, black stockings are Underneath her short skirt, black stockings, her shorts, and even her skin, the tissue those despicable CC implanted in her continues to writhe. The fever caused by its squirming pulsates and spreads from her womb to the rest of her body, filling her with a sensation of something between throbbing and thirst. Each time she rubs the fabric of her undergarments against her hard nipples, it induces a restless, no, a tantalizing moist heat in her nether regions. She wants to touch her body. It begs and pleads to be touched. However, she can't relieve herself in the quarters meant for three people. What if the other girls think she's obscene and promiscuous? They might hate her for it. Besides, since the military didn't mention these kinds of side effects, there's a possibility that she's the only one suffering from this weird arousal. If that's the case, she has to keep this hidden. Before she dares to return to her room, she has no choice but to calm herself in this way. Even as she lets out a desperate moan, she thinks to herself that if she's a soldier, she shouldn't need these kinds of functions to begin with. But her being a woman is the very reason she can hoist this power. Without this, she wouldn't be able to fight. She wouldn't be able to walk down the path Lisette took. She knows this. She does, but still, and yet, and despite that, I don't want to do this. Minori's right hand slowly creeps down, pinching up her skirt with slightly moistened fingers. Even if no one can see her, she still finds the act embarrassing. She squeezes her eyes shut before stroking her crotch over her black stockings. That place burns hotter than anywhere else on her body. Her gentle touch isn't enough to quench the heat. Making up her mind, Minori brings her fingers to her stockings. Feeling the moist warmth against her fingertips, she lets out a languid moan. I knew it. I have to do it. Still, despite her inner faltering, she moves her fingers with purpose. She pulls her smooth black stockings halfway down her tights so she can touch her crotch through her exposed shorts. Feeling moisture against her fingertips, Minori hurriedly pulls down her shorts. Pushing her way through her thick pubic hair, she touches her slit, feeling the warm, lewd juices seeping out of her. Her eyes well up with tears from how pathetic she feels. It's clear that doing it over her panties or while standing up just won't cut it. She's been like this for over a week. Minori faces the door and sits down on the toilet seat. Looking up, she can see her own reflection. Her body flares up with shame. All the toilet stalls in the base have a mirror on the back of their doors. Minori didn't know if the manufacturer failed to realize how improper the mirror's positioning was, or if it was intended. Either way, whenever anyone uses these toilets, their own reflection confronts them. Her lower half is covered by the Special Warfare Trooper's regular UEF uniform. However, her stockings and shorts have been pulled down to her knees as she sits on the toilet with her legs spread. Her inner thighs and crotch are framed by her uniform above and her black stockings below. The black of her stockings contrasts the color of her skin, causing her body to look like some kind of obscene, pallid creature. It seemed at first that maybe she wouldn't have to face the mirror, but Minori has tried all sorts of angles and positions. The stall structure simply doesn't allow her to sit down in any other position. Her only choice is to be done with this as quickly as possible. I'm not the kind of woman who'd do this. Biting her lips from frustration and shame, Minori gingerly extends her hand to her defenseless crotch, locking her fingers over her slightly swollen mound below her pubic hair. Hesitating to touch the core of her lust, she rubs her soft mound up and down. This is what she always did, at least until now. Having dedicated her life to becoming a special warfare trooper, she had little to no interest in sex. She cast aside anything that might interfere with her goal. She hated her monthly cycles and menstruation. The process only struck her as nasty, troublesome, and painful. She hated her own body for inflicting it on her. But when she became aware of Mitsumi, she inevitably started wondering about what exploring that part of life with him might be like. She would often fantasize about Mitsumi making love to her. Of course, she'd never seen him naked, but she could assemble an idea of what his body might look like under his clothes. Mitsumi... Mitsumi, I'm sorry, thinking about you at a time like this, but I have to do this right now. He isn't burly, but the right musculature of his arms doesn't have any needless flab. The tight muscular, not the right musculature. Those arms embrace her. As he leans against her, he easily joins his body with hers. Tracing over the edge of her pubic hair, her fingers move across the small sweat she finds there again and again, up and down. Ah, Mitsumi, no, I'm not gonna do that. Her lips part gently as she breathes a sweet sigh into the air. Her body quivers, filled with impatient, almost itchy warmth. Before now, this would be enough to satisfy her, allowing her to sleep soundly, if somewhat guiltily. But now this isn't enough anymore. No amount of rubbing it like this is enough. She says, this is embarrassing. Minori's left hand undoes the buttons of her uniform's blouse. It opens up at the front, revealing her pink skin that shines with sweat. Minori's fingers creep over her plain bra, slowly groping and rubbing herself as her other hand strokes the lower parts with similar motions. The ticklish heat spreads further throughout her body, causing it to quiver and tremble even more. Thick rivulets drop down from her closed slit onto the toilet's lid. I'm doing something terribly obscene right now, she thinks to herself. But this isn't me. These are Mitsumi's fingers. Mitsumi's touching me. The day before her final goodbye with Mitsumi, her head was full of thoughts. She toyed with herself so much she couldn't fall asleep. That was the first time she played with her breasts. It made her feel so flighty and excited that she finally was able to fall asleep. Minori brings her arms to her back and undoes her bra's hook. It loosens easily, allowing her to push it up and reveal her breasts. She says, this isn't right. My boobs are small. You'll hate them. Minori's petite breasts peek out of her open blouse. The nipples crowning her modest mounds are faintly pink and painfully erect. She says, he's looking at me. Mitsumi's looking at me. Heaving hot sighs into the air, she pushes her chest up a bit while timidly grabbing and groping at her breasts. Perhaps unconsciously, her lower half excitedly scoots forward, causing her twitching anus to come into view. As she hastens the speed with which she rubs her slit, the sound of her fingers rubbing against her pubic hair becomes audible. Her lewd nectar seeps out, gradually soiling the toilet's lid. She's thinking about Mitsumi. The moans escape Minori's lips over and over. Sweat soaks into her fingers, smearing across her skin. Fingers grab her breasts so firmly that her hands sink into them, contorting the shapes of her small mounds. Her palm rubs against her pubic hair, now that it's moist with sweat and body fluids. The sounds her movements produce grow louder. Her trembling inner thighs are covered in sweat, granting her skin an alluring sheen. When she imagines Mitsumi touching her, it fills her with dread. Would he hate her if she were to find out that she's kind of... Would he hate her if he were to find out she's the kind of woman to play with her body like this after every sortie? She continues to intensify her caresses, her fingers pinched down on her hard nipples, which they'd avoided so far. She pulls strongly as if hoping to pluck out the centers of her breasts. Minori toys with her nipples in a daze. Her remaining fingers join in, pressing hard enough on the rest of her breasts to leave marks on them. In her fervor, she completely overcomes her sense of shame and finally touches her slit. As two of her fingers open her slit to either side, warm fluids spill out. Her entrance is revealed beyond her swollen, stimulated slit, with her folds already almost a vivid red and dripping with obscene juices. The juices spilling across the toilet fill the room with the scent of a woman. Minori's face flushes as the mirror offers a clear view of her womanhood. It's obscene, filthy. She can't believe this is part of her. Up until 10 days ago, she would have never done this. This is dirty. I hate this. But I want your fingers, Mitsumi. I'm sorry. I mean, she's really going crazy over him. Apologizing again and again through her thoughts that are just a jumbled mess of passion and self-loathing, Minori continues moaning as she pinches her nipples and presses her fingers between her simulated folds. The sound of wet splashing fills the stalls each time her fingers and palm brush through her sopping pubic hair, causing her backside to buck upward. As her vagina clenches, thick juices spill out of her until they form puddles on the toilet seat, her pink flushed inner thighs twitch and convulse. Inside her reflection in the mirror, Minori's vagina is gaping open, drooling out nectar as if craving more. It's a lascivious, profane sight. This is me, Minori realizes. This is what I am. She says it's all because of those nasty aliens and claims she's not that kind of woman. But it's not enough. A few days ago, this would have satisfied her, but not anymore. Her body wantonly craves more. It begs for satisfaction. Her cheeks flush red with shame and self-loathing. Minori shoves her wet middle finger into her vagina. Her tight, moist flesh clamps down on her middle finger. She forces her digit as deep as it can go before pulling it out. Her pumping produces loud splashing sounds. Each time she pulls out, bubbling love juices spurt forth, spilling over the toilet seat in waves. The moist, lewd sounds of her churning, stirring, and pumping inside her own vagina with her finger fill the stall. Minori almost thinks to herself that it feels good, but then she ardently denies it. She's only doing this because she has to. It's necessary. She doesn't have a choice. If only she could be done with this already. If only this heat would die down, she'd stop at once. But as if to mock her, it feels like there is a spot pulsating inside her that's deeper than her finger can reach. It tantalizes her with how it's so close, yet so far. Minori's already covered in sweat, which soaks into the fresh, crisp uniform that she just put on. But even so, her desire doesn't seem to die down. Why? Until just yesterday, this was enough to satisfy her. When Mitsume, it feels good, so please, yeah, she's still going crazy over him. As soon as the words leave her mouth, her body flares up with shame. But if she doesn't heighten this pleasure just a little bit further, this probably will never end. Instead of just pumping in and out, she rubs her folds above and below. But as incredibly excited as this makes her, it doesn't push her high enough. She tugs and pinches at her nipples, even running her palms against them. But it's all for naught. She can't stimulate herself strongly enough. Minori pushes her middle finger deep as it will go, pumping it wildly, but it can't quite reach the source. Her frustration has become borderline anguish. As an intense, almost stabbing stimulus runs through her body. While moving so frantically, she inadvertently touched her clitoris. This isn't the first time this has happened. She's touched that spot before. Even a gentle caress there fills her with a soft, dreamy dreamy sort of sensation, yeah. But now that she's pulled back the hood of her clitoris, she's afraid of touching it directly. If touching it through the skin so gently felt that good already, a direct touch would be too much. When she gazes fearfully at it in the mirror, she can see that it's bloodshot and swollen with excitement. Her hood is soaked and shining with body fluids. Minori still dreads touching any part of her that's meant solely for pleasure. But what is she supposed to do, besides not touch it? That's right, she could put something bigger than her finger inside herself. Her gaze settles on the encased wand dangling from her neck. It is longer, thicker, and harder than her middle finger. It could go deeper. She's about to defile that thing. He's like, what am I thinking? This is important to me. It's the pendant she gave me. Her hand stops. Her body burns with sexual frustration and excitement. She knows that using it will end this that much faster. She'd reach the source of this throbbing and satisfy it. But still, I can't. I just can't. It's a special gift to her by the person she admires most. Using it for something so indecent would be utterly shameless. And yet, her reflection in the mirror is that of a woman who knows no shame. Her uniform is lewdly undone, leaving her exposed breasts heaving and dripping with sweat. The indecent thicket above her crotch is wet to the point of dripping. Her genitals below twitch wantonly while drooling with obscene love juices. She can hear moaning inside her head. This is the path she went through. She must have used something, too. She's just as much a woman as Minori is, after all. She definitely used something like this. Don't let this carry you away, Minori orders herself. Pull yourself together. What's the point of resisting, though? Why, when after going so far, she still isn't satisfied? She's gone as far as teasing her nipples, playing with her vagina, and even fingering herself. The throbbing in her depth seduces her, and implores her to stir and stimulate it, promising sexual gratification. What's the point of resisting now? She's already an obscene woman at this point. But using this... If I use this, I can't. It's too important. Oh, we have a choice. Hold on, folks. I have no idea what I'm doing. Just give me a second. If you're watching this, you know, you can just kind of skip to where I've finally made a choice, you know. I mean, that's the cool thing about it. Okay, now, let's see. So, here we go. First of all, okay. Well, you want to go see the bad end first, guys? Because we can do the bad end. Let's go ahead and see the bad end. How about that? And then we'll go to the two endings in the game. Then apparently there's a CG collection. So we're gonna go for the bad end. No, this thing is too important to her. Using it for something like this would be an act of betrayal. Minori pulls the encased wand off her neck and holds it in her hand. With how soaked her middle finger is with love juices, the wand is cool against her skin. She can see the cheap pendant embedded inside of the translucent material. This is her bond with the precious person that gave it to her. But it is thicker than her middle finger, so doing this would feel good, and end this that much sooner. Surely this is part of her duty as a special warfare trooper. I can't do that! Minori puts the encased wand back on before continuing to tease her nipples and vagina. They're so hot that it feels like her fingers might get scorched. That's right. I don't have to use the wand. It feels good enough. Remember, this is the bad end. The good end is actually to use the wand. But the feeling in her depths is tantalizing. It's like a burning, seething sensation of yearning. She changes her methods by adding her ring finger alongside her middle finger, thrusting inside herself with both. She says, "This feels good." With two fingers rubbing her flesh from above and below at once, the simulation is intensifying. Each thrust causes her mind to white out. You said I should have done this to begin with. The rhythmic squishing sounds are coming faster now. Her body burns with heat. The scent of her own sweat threatens to smother her. But... why? It feels so good, but why? The depths of her vagina throb. They beg to be toyed with and stimulated. With her shoulders heaving from how heavily she's breathing, Minori unintentionally grabs onto her encased wand again. Its size feels familiar and comforting in her hand. The section in the middle of the wand is thicker, just at the right spot to prevent it from going too far inside her. This will definitely get to the place she wants. Minori shakes her head earnestly. No, she'll just prepare something with the same thickness and length next time. She does that. Minori is shocked by herself. It's like she already assumed she'll need something to stimulate her harder than this. She's overcome with self-hatred. She's giving in to lust already, but she doesn't even have a way of getting what she wants. Still, at this rate, she'll end up stuck here for too long instead of going to her room. What if the other two start wondering where she is? She has to go with this after all. That's her only choice, at least for now, for the time being. Minori hesitantly takes off her encased wand. Forgive me, she chants in her mind. It's all those horrible aliens' fault. She has to use the wand for this. Forgive me. Next time I'll bring something else. Minori moistens the wand with the juices covering her hand before bringing it to her vagina, which quivers in anticipation. The cold, wet sensation feels horrible foreign, but it slips in. Horribly foreign, but it slips into her easily. Still, she feels a hint of resistance. As if to get it over with as soon as possible, she thrusts the wand as hard as she can. Some part of her heart prays that it won't feel good, but... ah, why does it feel so good? The stimulation pierces through her mind, making her reflexively arch her back. She never imagined she let out this kind of voice. Her hands, wet with sweat and nectar, stop for a moment. Minori's chest tightens with pure self-loathing. She's shamelessly pushing her bond with the person she admires most into her vagina. The disgraceful sight of it is right before her eyes. Her lower lips gape open as if trying to devour the encased wand. It's a lascivious sight, a vulgar and obscene representation of her vulgar and obscene self. But it also feels like if she doesn't use this, this will never end. She has to. She has no choice. She prays Lisette will forgive her for this. Biting her lips from the shame of it all, she tightens her grip on the wand, pushing it further in as if to punish herself. Minori lets out a passionate moan as the impact shoots through her nerves. Her hair becomes disheveled as she throws her head back, tears spilling from her eyes. She feels terrible for tarnishing the memories of Lisette, and the fact that she's deriving so much pleasure from this makes her feel absolutely pathetic. Yet now she's reached her hungry depths, her body cries out in joy. No, I can't, but... Resolving to finish this as quickly as possible, Minori tightens her grip on the wand again and resumes thrusting. Her repeated wavering has left her extremely impatient. Thanks to that, her stimulated body easily accepts even a foreign object like the wand. Then why am I making these voices? This doesn't feel good. I just want to finish this already. I'm going crazy. Her body rises. The speed of her thrusts accelerate. Well, hold on. Her body rises. The speed of her thrusts accelerates. Her uniform hangs off her body as she pushes the wand in, causing the love juices that have accumulated in her folds to overflow and gush out. Inside of the mirror, the figure of a sweaty woman heaves and writhes. Her inner thighs spasm while dripping sweat and bodily fluids. Both the mouth on her face and the one between her legs drool and moan. She's telling us how amazing Matsume is. Minori churns inside her depths with the wand, projecting her fantasy of Matsume's penis onto the anchor of her bond with Lisette. Her memories of them both mixed together, filling her mind with immoral guilt. However, it only serves to stoke the fires of her lust. Her tightly closed flower that had been violated by despicable invaders now begins to bloom as it awakens to thoughts of a man. This isn't like me, but it feels so good. I'm sorry, I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm gonna coom! Her hips buck inside of the petal of life of love juices. By now, it has spread past her buttocks, producing splashing noises that fill the stall. Each thrust of the wand produces wet, squelching sounds. It's a wet, embarrassing, wild, and vivid symphony that's unlike anything Minori's ever heard. It's probably audible through the entire bathroom, but by now, Minori doesn't care. I'm going crazy. Matsume, I'm sorry, forgive me, she says. Her gaze is delirious. Her cheeks are flushed pink while her lips, more vivid and red than usual, hang open and expose her teeth. Her nipples stand erect as they can be. Her hips buck so uncontrollably that she ends up kicking her shoes off her feet as if to demonstrate how badly she desires release. Imprisoned by her stockings, her legs kick and thrust as if she's swimming. Her toes spasm, curl up, and then open again. The scent of sweat and womanly lust fills the stall, intoxicating Minori further. I can't go back to my fingers after this. Something's cooming! Triangles shoot up her spine. Tingles shoot up her spine. She needs to stop. She doesn't want to become any more obscene than she already is. But instead, she keeps driving the wand further inside. Something's coming! Girl, what is this? This is amazing. I'm gonna go crazy. This is an unfamiliar sensation, though she knows what it is. She has felt this somewhat before, somewhere before, but she can't recall it exactly. Some part of her refuses to. Something hot is rising up and surging out of the core of her body, shooting madly through every part of her body. She sweats profusely. Her feet convulse and kick against the floor as if she's struggling for dear life. Just when she drives it all the way in, she bumps the wand against her clitoris. Her mind whites out. As if that contact flipped a switch, it feels like a lightning bolt shoots through her whole body. She can feel something warm gush out of her trembling vagina. She throws her head back, her teeth chattering as beads of sweat drip from her chin. Her body spasms uncontrollably from the top of her head to the tips of her fingers. It feels like something in her has taken flight. It's like exhilaration, like an explosion, like pleasure. Fear and pleasure mix to form a lurid cocktail, leaving Minori in a state that's both and yet neither. It feels like she burnt up, and now her consciousness lies dizzy within the smoldering cinders that remain. Her lower half is warm and wet. Her numb hands can't stop the wound from plopping out of her... The wand from plopping out of her vagina. Reacting to the sound of it rolling across the floor, Minori stirs, dragging herself through the warm quagmire she created while vacantly gazing at her reflection in the mirror. Her half-stripped stockings, her shorts, her crotch, they're all soaking wet. He says, I wet myself. As she baths in the warm bog of her own fluids, her thoughts march slowly and aimlessly through her mind. How slovenly and loose. Minori hurriedly cleans up after herself before sneaking back into the locker room. After taking another shower, she puts her uniform back on. It feels nasty to wear the same outfit that she did such things in. The afterglow of her masturbation lingers inside her depths. The thought of sneaking back into her room like a thief fills her with self-loathing, but soon enough, she's back in her room. Nana's fast asleep. Ayusha is nowhere to be seen. Minori looks over Nana's face as she sleeps. Nana looks completely serene, like nothing's troubling her at all. Nana was very reliable today. If she hadn't been there to stop that thing, they wouldn't have been able to drive it off. Thank you. Back then, you said your friends were really strong. But you're as strong as we are, you know? Minori softly whispers to Nana, but of course she gets no reply. Minori doesn't intend to wake her up either. She simply wanted to say that. Minori straightens back up and stretches. She feels refreshed in more ways than one. She still has things to do, though. Today's combat report is due tomorrow, so she needs to start writing it. Oh, hey, huh? Ayusha suddenly thrusts her face into Minori's. You were slicking, weren't you? Your clothes smell like it, and it took you too long to come back. No, they don't smell. Don't say weird stuff about me. Her panic is as good as admitting it, though. I mean, you always come back here right away, but this time you only came back just now. No, I mean, I came back and took a shower. Minori's so flustered that her words come out incoherently. Ayusha gives her an impish smile. The ventilation in our shower room sucks, so it takes a long time for the steam to dry out on the partition's frosted glass. But there's no moisture to be found. That means you didn't take a shower here. Besides, after a battle like that, you'd be busy writing the combat report about now. Instead, you're just zoning out here. Ayusha proceeds to press her body against Minori's, burying her face into the crook of her neck. What are you doing? お堅い注意さんもやっぱり女なんだ。安心した。 Yep, your clothes smell like sex. I'm used to this smell, see? Haha. So even our stick-in-the-mud first lieutenant is a woman. What a relief. Minori didn't have time to wash the scents of sweat and assorted juices out of her uniform. No, this isn't... No, it is. We're all like that. They call us special warfare troopers, but we're a bunch of young women. That applies to officers like you, Miss First Lieutenant, and showbiz people like me. Minori wants to protest and say she's different. She's a special warfare trooper. Her being a woman is irrelevant. But given what she just done, she can't bring herself to say it. It happens to all of us. When we get back from battle, our bodies throb and ache. We all suffer and relish in this, so you don't have to feel ashamed about it. Ayusha looks at her with a bewitching smile. Minori gazes at her teammate, who has a look in her eyes that Minori's never seen before. As she stiffens, Ayusha leans in and whispers into her ear. If you're gonna do it yourself... Why not do it with me? I'm good at it, you know? I used to go all the way with those two, though I'm not as used to it as you might think. And then, all too naturally, Ayusha presses her lips against Minori's. The sensation of a woman's tongue entangling itself with her own leaves Minori stunned. Ayusha, who is a head taller than her, pushes her against the wall before starting to roughly fondle her breasts. What adorable breasts, you're still hard, but this isn't bad at all. Her other hand slides down, tracing over her skirt before reaching for her crotch. Masumi's face flashes in Minori's mind. She recalls a slightly relieved expression when she didn't turn down his invitation to that restaurant's hotel. No, I can't! She somehow manages to refuse going any further, causing Ayusha to gently pull away. What, do you think your pride as a first lieutenant might get tarnished if you sleep with a second lieutenant like me? That's not what I mean. It's just forcing me like this. It's... Well, fine. We got plenty of time to burn here. You might change your mind. Ayusha immediately returns to our usual, cynical, borderline arrogant self. I won't. Not with someone who's trying to force me. But you know, there's quite a few girls in our group who'd rather do it with each other than have a man sleep with them. For some of them, it all started with someone forcing herself onto her. Huh? No, that's not true. These are the front lines. We're fighting the CC here. That goes against military regulations. There's no way that happens here. I'm not lying. Wake up and smell the cum stains, Miss First Lieutenant. The men know we come back from battle horny. Of course they think we're easy pickings. That horrible man's face flashes in Minori's mind. Is that how he sees her? Look, we've got aliens in our wombs. They can fuck us all they want, and we won't get knocked up. We're a free lot ride with no strings attached for all they care. It'd be weird if they didn't go after us. The way Ayusha talks about such facts as if it's something to boast about seems very typical of her. And while Minori can trust her as a comrade on the field of battle, she feels like she can't quite come to like her as more than that. Of 203 subjects, 56 subjects survived the initial culling. Same as last year, the subjects would be permitted to grow independently until their second month. Their accomplishments and prospects since refinement began have been promising. The high quality of the subjects is seen as a major factor in their success. The six subjects who had to be called to the instability of their Holy Grail's attachment were also fine specimens. Wow. Our continued refinement of their selection conditions over the last 6 years is beginning to show its worth. With this, we can expect a bountiful harvest of refined subjects at the end of the year. It would be optimal if all subjects could be refined during this year, but since I myself must survive, we may not have the leeway to guarantee that. I am not immortal nor invincible. Should we fail to properly handle the subjects, my own safety would be endangered. For now, the subjects seem to be adapting favorably. Losses are minimal. Soon, we will no longer rely on the subjects maturing naturally in advance of the next refinement stage, and therein lies the major obstacle. Last year, many subjects failed to endure this stage and thus were lost. The subjects' mental faculties are sensitive. There are environmental changes and differences in their welcoming, and not all can advance at once. But if they can overcome this, most subjects abandon their independent traits and begin to form a group. And in order to encourage their growth into a group, a scapegoat must be chosen like last year. A subject with favorable appearance and mental prowess but poor environmental adaptability should make for a suitable scapegoat. The only point of concern is that Minion 001 has been operating in unexpected ways. We should remain cautious of this. Data regarding Subject 14-3 has been recorded. There is no need for urgency. Okay, folks, this is where we're gonna go ahead and end it. If you like what you see, you know, continue to like and comment and watch the video. Because, yeah, we'll do more. Right now we're on the bad path. Like, we're gonna see the bad end, and then I'll go through the good ending. So you'll get to see everything. Alright, everybody, this will be the Grim Lord, and I guess I'm out of here. I'll see you guys next time on Grim's Hentai Corner.